Now listen, just keep standing up. We aren't quite ready to sit down. We start our sermon series every single way, just proclaiming a couple of truths together. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" When Jesus is speaking these words, I want you to know and recognize that the mission is complete, that the cross is now behind him. The work of the Father, it has been proclaimed as finished. Jesus is standing, as I've been saying, on the edge of a new world, a world where one that is set free, where authorities and powers and dominions are put in their place. There is no rival as it stands to Jesus and his name. There is no rival. And here's what I want you to know, that back then, that when Jesus was moving and working, the lost was found. And here's what we're proclaiming today, that Jesus can do it again today. We found that the sick was healed. And here's what we proclaim can happen today. The sick today can be healed in Jesus' name. The lame was once on the ground, but then in a word, in an instant, were made to stand. The same can be true today. Those possessed were set free. And those that possess today, those that are feel entrapped, that are subject to other powers and authorities, can be set free today. The prodigal restored, the blind with new sight, the sinner forgiven. Here's what we proclaim, that Jesus, that he once did, and he can do it again today in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a huge shout of praise. Say hello to somebody today as you take your seat. Welcome somebody into church today. Welcome somebody in. Amen, amen. All right, listen, I'm going to be just as real and as open and honest as probably as I have been in a while. Listen, I want you to look at the person sitting next to you, all right? Just look him, and just say, God's going to do something today. Amen. Say amen to it. Come on. God's going to do something today. Listen, it's what you need to feel it in your room. Something here. There's a family here. There's a home here. There's something here. And it's like there's a weight in the room that has just been so heavy. Yes. So heavy. There's something. There's like a barrier. There is something here today that just is like that. I really believe that Jesus wants to set somebody free, that Jesus really wants to set a family, a home free today. And so here's what we just want to do. We're going to open up God's word together. We're going to continue to proclaim his authority and his power. And we are just going to just be praying. If you're in the room, just continue to be praying that God does something today that only he can do. I don't have the power and the authority, but Jesus does. Amen. And so we're going to proclaim it. We're going to believe it today that his word is true and that what happened then is true today. There's a one word that just keeps coming up to me that keeps just being highlighted, and the word is home. I titled this whole message, "There's No Place Like Home." There's no place like home. You ever find the comfortability in your own home, in your own, it's like as if it's the place of which, you know, you can be completely and totally yourself. But there's no place like home. And here's what I want to say today is that there's no place like home for a miracle. There is no place like home for the divine work of the Father to happen. There's no place like home for his power and the authority of the Son to come alive, to manifest itself. Today, there's no place like home for healing to happen and for restoration to happen. Jesus, as we have been looking in this series, no rival, that he is continually on the move. And wherever he goes, people are left changed. People are left different. Wherever he goes and he finds those that are lame, those that are blind, those that are oppressed, they are literally set free. They are literally made whole. And so I believe that the same thing can be true today. I want to just highlight that I think that Jesus right now is speaking directly to us in a very specific way, towards our homes, towards our families. And so I pray that as we just hear the message today and we open up God's word, that there would just be a willingness to respond to him. That there would be a willingness for you and to your family to give something to him today. A willingness to allow his power to move into your life. And that is coupled with trust and belief today. So let's read together. We're in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verses 14 through 17. It says this, and when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses, and he bore our diseases. If you have your Bible, once you go to Mark chapter 1, I don't have this one on the screen, but it's a place of which we see the same work of Christ done, but in a different from a different perspective. It said, and immediately he left the synagogue in verse 29, Mark 1, verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all, I want you to see, all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city, it says, would gather together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Let us just pray together one more time before we go any further. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for being, Lord, with us today. And God, we just pray, Lord, that right now, Lord, that the room would just begin to change, that the room would just begin to flip, Lord, in your name, that, Lord, what is holding people captive or what is keeping people down, what is just like a bondage right now upon families, that, God, through the course of the day, that through the course of the hour, Lord, that we are here, Lord, that they would just begin to feel a loosening of their soul, a loosening of the grip, God, of which they have been holding on to, that bitterness would begin to remove itself, that humility would begin to be raised up, God, and, Lord, that people would just begin to cry out to you today, Lord. Lord, I am just your instrument, God. I am just your servant, Lord. And may you just use whatever words that are spoken here, God. May they move with power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, it gives us some real encouragement to begin with. It says that Jesus, he comes into Peter and Andrew's house. I just want to encourage you that Jesus is the one that is willing to come into your home. Jesus is not distant. Jesus did not have to walk into the home and ask Peter, hey, Peter, where's the bathroom? Jesus already knew. When Jesus would go to the fridge, they didn't have fridges, but you know what I mean. When he went to the pantry and he looked in, he already knew what Peter had because he had been there so often. Jesus knows exactly what is in your home right now. He knows what is good, what is bad. He knows the order of things. He said when he enters his home, he knows that to take your shoes off. He knows where to lounge. He knows where to relax. He even probably has a seat at the table. The Jesus that we are talking about has such a compassion that he has a willingness to dine and to enter into our most sacred of places, the home, as long as you're willing, as long as you're willing to let him. He is more than willing. And so I just want you to see here, number one, there's a comfortability in Jesus, that he is both Lord and friend, has the willingness to come into the home, to dine and to be with you. It says that whenever he came into this home, he saw a need. He saw a need. And the need was very simple, but was still a need. It was Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. In Mark, it says that Andrew told Jesus about this. Andrew Peter told Jesus about this, but then in Matthew, it says that Jesus simply saw it. Here's what I want you to know, that whether or not you speak what the need is in your home or not, Jesus still sees the need. Jesus right now sees the need that is within your life. Jesus sees the need within the home. And here's what is beautiful is that he touches it. Without anybody asking in Matthew, Jesus identifies the need and has the willingness to touch it. And when Jesus touches it, what happens to the mother-in-law? The fever leaves her. Not in hours, but rather in moments. And it says that it leaves her and she has just in a moment, the ability to stand up and then begin to serve. Here's what I want us to begin with this thought. Jesus comes into the home. He sees the needs of the home, and he has a willingness to meet those needs. Some of you need to be reminded today that the proximity of Jesus, your proximity to Jesus, does not keep you from pain or suffering or sickness or disease. Your proximity does not prevent those things. A follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus' mother, still gets sick. But I want you to see that your proximity to Jesus does give you the access to his comfort and his healing. It may not prevent things from happening in your life, but it does give you access to the comfort of which you need. Peter recognized this. It doesn't prevent trials. Your nearness to Jesus doesn't prevent trials or heartaches, but it does provide immediate access to his comfort. I believe in the room that there is somebody here today that wants the comfort of the Lord in their situation, in their home, right now. And your proximity to Jesus and your willingness to keep him near and close, it seems, does have an impact. Jesus in this moment knew the exact malady that was upon this woman, but he also knew the remedy. Jesus right now, he knows the suffering. I think I got to keep saying that to you today. Jesus already knows. Jesus already knows the malady of your home. Jesus already knows the pain. Jesus already knows the heartache. Jesus already knows the suffering right now that you are experiencing. And you know what else he knows? He knows the remedy. He knows how to solve it. He knows how to work through it. He knows how to restore and redeem it. What once afflicted his mother-in-law is now cast completely away. It left, and she arose and she served. I want to highlight her for just a moment. She encountered Jesus. She encountered his healing power. And the response to Jesus and his encounter and his healing was service. Isn't that a beautiful thing? A beautiful message for each of us that when we encounter the risen Savior like that, it does lead to a place which we serve. But this is what we see at the very beginning. A beautiful, compassionate Jesus that is willing to come into your home and has the power and the authority to bring comfort and healing. But here's what's insane, is that the story doesn't just stop there. It says, and then that evening, that very same day, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. The door was literally opened. One miracle led to many. Like that place began to be the epicenter of the healing of Jesus, or Jesus' healings, one after another. A minor fever broke forth many different miracles. Demons cast out, the sick all healed. Look at how powerful that is. One miracle, one change has the capacity to open the door to many other miracles in your life, in your family's life, in the life of those around you. But there's something here that I want to just highlight. Evening has come, the Sabbath is over, and the door is opened. One by one, people begin to come in. One by one. I feel like it's just like as you come through the church. Every time we see you, it's as if an individual enters. And every single individual has a story. Every single individual right now, I believe, has some sort of struggle, some sort of thing of which they are seeking the Lord for, or rather pushing the Lord away from. It can happen both ways. But Jesus, he sees you. He sees every single individual that came through the door. He didn't just have a mass gathering, it says, where he just says, healing upon you all. That's not at all how I believe it happened. How do you get into the house? How do you get into the house? Anybody know? You go through the door. How many people you think could fit in this house? Not many. It was probably already full with Andrew and Peter and his whole family. But one by one, they came through the door. One by one, they came in. And it says that there were many who came that were oppressed by demons. And then there were many who came that sought healing from either sicknesses or diseases. And Jesus, it says, healed them all. Each individually, but not one was turned away. Not one was left the same way in which they came in. Each individually spoken to and touched by Jesus, and we see that everything changed. within your home right now. Like I said, I don't know what it is, but within your home right now, like, what is it? If you were to name it, what is it that you're coming to the door of Jesus and saying, this is what I need, or this is the ailment, or this is the pain, or this is the suffering that I have right now? What would you say to him? What would you proclaim to him? And you see that there's kind of two big categories he keeps talking about. I'm going to highlight the first one. We see that there is over and over Jesus encounters demons. Jesus encounters the evil spirits that have the capacity at that time to put others under their subject, to be subject over another through all sorts of different things. There's all sorts of different. There's one story of a young boy who says that's possessed by a demon. It says every time he's near water or fire, that the demon will literally try to cast that boy in to destroy it and to kill him. That's just one of the ways. There's many different ways of which the enemies work or the demons work throughout this time. But you really find that there's this. They are in opposition to the kingdom of God. 110%. They are in direct opposition to everything that Jesus stands for and everything that Jesus is about. Direct opposition. But they do have the capacity to oppress individuals. They don't lift up individuals, rather they break down and they tear down. And then there is the capacity for possession, for them to not be released, or for them to almost like cling to individuals. We see a little bit throughout Scripture over and over of just the way in which they operate. But I want to highlight Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, that we are called as believers to put on the armor of God because that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, the schemes of Satan. And you got to kind of see that there is something here that the enemy is trying to do in this world, among our homes, among our lives. And it, once again, it isn't for our best interest. It isn't for the good of ourselves or for the good of others. Because as we see here, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The wars are not among one another, but rather there are spirits, the rulers against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We can see that the enemy, the devil, he has been cast as a roaring lion that seeks to devour. Other verses proclaim him as a murderer from the beginning, that there is nothing to do with truth in him. He is the father of lies. Every word that he speaks is a lie. And we can find that there are a variety of conditions under his power and his authority, many of which are virtually indistinguishable from symptoms associated with normal illnesses and normal diseases that are really a result of living in a fallen world. But in our hearts and in our lives, you can find deception and temptation running rampant in our souls and our lives. The great deceiver and the great tempter. Right now, probably what's within your home is some sort of deception. There's a lie of which you're believing that makes you turn upon one another or turn upon your kids or turn upon a family. There's some sort of deception of which has been used, or rather you're tempted. You're tempted by all sorts of idols. You know your temptation. That's what's insane. I don't have to address your temptation. You know exactly how you're tempted. You know exactly the temptations which come. But I believe that right now, I begin to ask the question, do we still see the same force of power and authority right now today as what Jesus seen back then among the enemy and the evil one? Do we still see that he has power and authority? And the answer is just simply yes. It seems that he does. But in what way? And I want to just highlight one way. I think that oftentimes we see that he works in the subtleness. Anybody ever seen The Exorcist? You remember 1970s, The Exorcist? I refused. I couldn't do it. But I did watch some other very traumatic, just versions. And I'm not saying that that may not be the way in which the enemy wants to operate, but I think right now what we're seeing is more of a subtleness. That if he could just continually shift our minds and hearts away from God, then he has done his duty. that if he can just consume our homes, our lives, our with all sorts of idols and various loves, then he has literally replaced the one true God with many other gods of which we want to chase after and serve. We don't have to, he doesn't have to blatantly come upon somebody, but rather he can just have us slowly over a course of time drift our heart and mind from the one of which has the capacity to really save and to really heal. One of the books that was most interesting to me on this topic came from C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters. And this is kind of the thought that I continue to think about. And you think about maybe even the state of your home. Your home may not be over direct oppression, but yet you may have just found yourself drifting to a place that you are right now. He says it like this from the perspective of Wormwood, who is one of the lead enemy leaders, or one of the lead occupants of the or workers of the devil. He said, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. As he speaks to his apprentice, he says, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts, this is the one of which will have us drift the most. What he is saying here is that it's not always the major movements of darkness and sin, even though it can be, but it's not always the major movements of darkness and sin luring their patient toward hell, but rather the day-to-day happenings. And I want you to hear this part very clearly, inching him further away from God. I think a lot about like a bedroom. Those that are married, you remember like how you used to one day maybe snuggle and cuddle? Couldn't keep your hands off one another. You ever notice though how a little bit of bitterness, you just begin moving further and further, inch by inch. You never just jump all the way over to the other side. But with enough bitterness and enough time, you can find yourself literally sleeping on the edge. And I think that there's so much there in connection to God being our bride, or like we are the bride of Christ. And it's not that you have found yourself in a place where you are completely away from God, but rather over the course of time, well, rather you are away from God, but it's not because you've jumped there. It's just because inch by inch, you have allowed your life to be filled, or you have allowed yourself to be pulled away by all the cares and all the things of the world. But Jesus says that even in the power, even though that there are powers and authorities that seek to steal, kill, and destroy, that seek to come against you, it says that in this moment and that in this passage, it says that with a word, the spirits were cast out. With a word, the situation changed. And I continue to highlight that when Jesus speaks, things begin to change and things begin to happen. Jesus has all power and all authority over all other powers and all other authorities. They cannot stand. They literally are told to flee and they flee. Get out and they are removed. It's a powerful, powerful statement. Now, here's what a good friend of mine, Lonnie Riley, he also proclaimed to me. He's been just a spiritual anchor, become a spiritual anchor from a life. He said, Aaron, we never give the enemy credit for your situation. You ever just said that the enemy's just tempting me or the enemy's just testing me? He says, no, never give the enemy credit, because right now we are proclaiming that it is true that Jesus has already overcome the powers of the enemy, that Jesus is the greater authority over all the schemes of the devil. And so right now, if you find yourself in a trial or you find yourself in a moment of testing, it is because the Lord has you there for a reason and for a purpose, and his goodness will overcome. His mercy will restore. His grace will redeem. Amen. We never give the enemy credit, because the enemy has not placed us there. God is sovereign over the enemy. Right now in your homes, there is nothing of which we would give him credit for. But there's something of which you need to call out to the Lord to have him, to allow his power to come in. His power will not come if you do not ask. It never will. Now, Jesus is clear on this. Why? In our community group last week, there was somebody was highlighting this passage. It says that Jesus, that he healed all who were sick. All is literally all people that came to him left changed. And they asked, why doesn't Jesus heal everyone? You ever ask yourself that? Why didn't Jesus just speak a word and everybody was healed? And the real simple answer is that not everybody wants the healing that Jesus offers. Imagine right now that Jesus has the power and authority to heal your home. But Jesus will not heal your home unless you are willing. Unless you desire it. Unless you want to see his work and his power come alive. He will never force you into it. He gives us free will. He's given us free will. God never, ever desired sin to enter into the world, but yet he did allow it. God never desired for his only son to be killed on a cross, but yet he allowed it. God also did not desire that anyone should perish. He desires actually all to come to repentance. Yet God recognizes that not everyone will come to repentance. And I think this has been the heartbreaking aspect of the day, if I'm just being really honest. I'm talking to Emily after first service, and I said, I just don't know what it is. I said, but it feels like there's just not a willingness to allow the power of God to come into your life. That there's not a willingness to see him move in the way in which he can move. And anytime we find ourselves unwilling, we find ourselves staying exactly where we've been. Under the same pain, under the same heartache, under the same suffering. But it's Jesus says, no, I'm willing. And I have the power and I have the authority can. But listen, you have to allow me to. You have to release that power through faith and belief. I can't. I promise you, I can't. It's like we have seen testimony after testimony all throughout the room that he can and that he is able to. Listen, you think that your marriage right now is the first marriage that's been on the rocks? It's not. It is not at all. You think that your marriage right now is the first one that has had a few fights or debacles? I promise you, it's not. But Jesus has worked in marriages before and has seen marriages that were once on the brink of ending and closure actually be completely and totally restored. As we proclaim, like, when Jesus said he would at one point, or when Jesus has, he will again. To those that have been struggling with addiction of any kind, you can find yourself just bent like, I'm always going to be stuck. I'm always going to be this way. But yet you find testimony after testimony after testimony of like, I'm not addicted anymore. I have been set free by the power and the authority of God in my life. And so you find that you can look back on history and you say, well, if Jesus could do it for them, then he can also do it for me. He can do it again today. And I believe it professes the last part in verse 17. It says, to fulfill. This is one of his covenant promises. All of his promises, all of the prophets say that this is spoken to fulfill what the prophet has said. That he took our weaknesses. That he has bore our diseases. Jesus has come into the world and he has been the antagonist to the antagonist. That he has been the one that has come against the evil and the corruption and the brokenness. That everything that the evil one does, Jesus does the very opposite. When the evil one leads us to brokenness and oppression and complete and total just surrounding, Jesus is able to break through all of it. And set us free. This passage comes from Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah 53 is one of those prophetic words that tells that Jesus will come. Or that the Messiah will come and he will have the capacity. He will have the authority to do these two things. To take our illnesses. To literally see people restored and healed. But then also to bear upon him our diseases, our sicknesses. Now, the greatest thing that Jesus ever did, though, is what he did on the cross. His healing and his works that we've been reading about and will continue to read about are all prophetic stories of what he has the capacity to do, but really it all proclaims who he is, that he is the Messiah. He is the one to come, but it is work on the cross that brings it all to fulfillment, all of his work to a place of completion. Because deep within every single one of us, it is sin of which is most corruptive. It is sin of which brings the most darkness. It is sin of which breaks our soul and separates us from God. And all of the sicknesses that we have been talking about and will continue to talk about can be directly connected to the sin of which we have encountered or are encountering right now. He will constantly find himself healing the blind. Listen, to us, it's like we have been living in darkness, and what we need is to see the light, and we need to see clearly. See, his physical miracles are the prophetic of the spiritual. Well, some of us, our ears have been deaf to hear the words of God. We have been living as if we are still lame and unable to allow the powers of our mind and body to connect to where we can move in the way in which God has called us to move in obedience. We have a fever, a hot fever within our soul after the passions and desires of our lives. We are paralysis. We have paralysis to do the good that God has called us to do. See, every single one of these connects us back to the spiritual elements that we each all have or have had. But the Spirit of the Lord gives us hope, and he gives us the promises of Jesus Christ. It says that there will be liberty to the captive, that there will be sight to the blind, that the hearing to the deaf, healing to the fevered, and activity to the lame. All of these things come under him through his power and through his authority. But it is the heartbeat of Christ that let us carry our weaknesses. Let us carry our sufferings. Let us carry our pain to him and trust in him, in who he is and what his power and authority holds. Acknowledge our sins to him. Seek the touch from this healing hand and to see all get cast aside, all be pushed away. And so, this is what I believe this whole passage is proclaiming to us. That Jesus, that he does have the power and the authority. That Jesus does have the willingness, the love, and the compassion to see our circumstances and to change them in the way in which only he can. This past week, I think this is probably part of it too. So I've gotten the opportunity to get back into the classroom. And so every day I spend my day with juniors at East Carter High School. It is a gift. It is a real gift. Sometimes it's a nightmare. I'm just kidding. But it's always a gift. Every day I get a touch. I get to encounter all sorts of different kids and all sorts of different people. But today I got to hear some stories. And there's different stories of one that was in a home that's getting tossed back and forth between his father and his mother and didn't have any of his belongings, none of his stuff. He just said, "Mr. Raymond, I don't have any of my stuff." He said, "I'm living with my dad and everything's with my mom." And you just see there's a new tiredness, there's a brokenness there. Others that are just dealing with a little bit more just overwhelmingness or anxiety from their home situations. One girl that was literally dealing with just like a homelessness at one point in her life. And it was still carrying that as a guilt, and another just continually struggling with image. But I found myself almost crying about four times this week. It doesn't take much for me to cry anymore. I had to literally like look away and just like go do something else. But I could just sense that there was such a brokenness in the rooms all week. And you know what it all came back to is the home. Every time, it just kept coming back to the home. I just thought, oh my gosh, Lord, what would it look like if the homes were restored? What would their lives look like? What would their families look like? What would their self-image and their heart be like? And so I believe that Jesus is speaking just directly to us today that our homes, that there are some struggles. I've been in the same home since 2019, and since me and Emily have been married, like there have been struggles, there have been heartaches. But I look at my father and my mother, and it's like life, there has been struggles, and there has been heartaches, and there has been sicknesses and infirmities and sufferings that have come over and over and over again. But like right now, here's what I want to speak into is that there's something right now that's in your home. There's some sort of suffering. There's some sort of pain that is in your home right now. Now, listen, there's some more at the door yet to come. I fully believe that there's some more at the door yet to come. But let's just stay in the house right now. If Jesus is in the house, then the healing touch is there. If Jesus is in the house, then he has the capacity and the authority to transform that situation, to transform that suffering. And then here's the good news of that: whatever is yet to come, Jesus is still in the house. And so everything that will come, everything that begins to knock at the door, the same person, as long as you keep a nearness and a proximity to him, is still there to bring the comfort that you need and the healing that you need. Amen? Amen. Amen. But right now, what's in the room? Right now, what's in the house? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite Caleb to come back up, and we're going to just go into a time of prayer and a time of response. Right now, what would you ask Jesus to do in your home? Right now, what would you ask Jesus to do in your house, in your relationships that matter? What, right now, what would you have Jesus do? What would you? What's the greatest need right now in your home? What is it? What is it? What would you ask him for that only he could do? Now, I want to go back to the beginning. Today, you can ask him for it, but yet he already sees it. Isn't that good news? You don't have to be afraid of him knowing, because he already knows. And I believe that Jesus is willing right now to begin to work in that situation as long as you are willing to let him. Acknowledge it. Trust him. Believe in it, that he can. What is it for you today? I'm going to speak into a few. I'm going to speak into a few. Is it your marriage? Is it your marriage today? Like, is there real pain? Is there real suffering? Is there distance? Is that what it is right now? Like, would you want God to just move in your marriage? Maybe it's in, I can't tell you how many times, maybe it's in your husband. You've been praying for your husband for years, that he would come to know the Lord. Maybe today, one more time, you lift him up. Let's see what God can do. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's your wife that's had an ailment or a sickness for years and years. There's been struggle, or there's maybe trauma, or there's brokenness, there's anxiety that just continues to flood her soul, and she just hasn't been the same. Would it be for her? Maybe it's for your son or your daughter, that they would come back, that they would be the prodigal that would return. Is that it for you? If Jesus could do one thing, would that be it in your home? To restore your son and daughter back to their rightful position, to bring them back home, is that what it would be? Maybe right now there's just an overwhelming sense of addiction, or maybe there's overwhelming sense of abuse that's right now in your home, and you're saying, Jesus, I just need you to break it. I just need you to Lord, bring freedom to our home right now. Is that what it is? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up with me. I want to proclaim a couple things. Jesus saw and he touched, and the person was healed. I want to invite Eric and Chris, would you just bring the lights down for us during this time? I don't know what it is, but here's what I do know. I know it's something. And I don't believe that right now that it's for me to say anything else. I think that right now it is for you to acknowledge that, Jesus, that right now I need you. I need your authority. I need your healing. I need your power right now in this situation. I'm going to just ask everybody, would you just bow your heads right now? And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to affirm it in Jesus' name, what it is. Would you just raise your hand and proclaim, Jesus, this is my need? Will you just raise your hand and let me know? Amen. 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 You know the need. You know what you need. Jesus knows what you need. Jesus knows what kind of touch you need. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you just with your mind, with your heart, with everything in you, I want you to say, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe that you can Jesus, I believe that you have the authority. And Lord, right now I'm believing, God, that things will be different, that change is to come, that Lord, your power and authority are coming alive right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proclaim it to him. To those that are still struggling right now, listen, what is the burden? What is the barrier? Is there fear? Is there doubt? Lord, we pray all across the room, Lord, that you would just begin to reveal what that may be, God. Begin to just work in their soul. Begin to have somebody begin to work in them, to work, Lord, to release it, to set it free, Lord. Lord, we believe today that you have the power. We don't have to leave here today, God, with the same heaviness of which we entered, God. Today, in your name, we can be free. We proclaim it all across the room. To everybody, Lord, that lifted a hand today, we proclaim, God, that your power and authority is real and it is true and it is coming to life in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, God, that this week that we would just be, that there would just be evidence, God, that we would just begin to see change. Lord, that we would just begin to see you working and restoring in exactly how we have been praying and exactly, Lord, how we have been asking. Lord, thank you. Lord, we proclaim today that you will do it again. Just like you have been doing it for generations after generations, Lord, today you will do it again. We believe it. Lord, we proclaim it. Amen. I just want to invite you. I'm going to be up here in the front. Our prayer team will be in the back. And listen, we would love to come alongside you. We have a response time. We have a prayer team for a reason so that you don't have to be alone. So that you don't have to feel like you're carrying this alone. So you can bring it to the light. You can bring it out of the darkness. And we can just surround it in prayer together. So while I'll be up here in the front, be in the back. But as we sing, we're going to be singing this once again. Do it again. Just proclaim it with all that you got today, church. As if you're proclaiming these words that they are true and that they are real.